Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark Essley.
Good morning, and welcome to Small Talk with Mark Essley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, Domino's. We appreciate their continued support. We want you to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say. Good morning, Doak. How you doing?
I'm awake. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just great. You survived your Michigan State Spartans?
Yeah, I did. It was a tough run, but look, who was it said that we kind of overachieved this year with all the injuries we had, so we're good.
Well, I do want to say congratulations to the Michigan State Spartans.
Exactly. For
it was a wonderful run for them.
Yep.
And I think the state of Michigan still is in a very good state when it comes to college basketball.
Exactly.
Got to figure out how to get over the hump in this
time,
right?
That's right.
It's going to be a nice cool day today in the mid-40s.
Exactly.
And the Tigers, we got Minnesota.
Tigers, yes.
In Minnesota. I don't know. A young team, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens and how cold it is up there.
Yeah, but they're playing indoors. Aren't they playing indoors? I don't even know.
No, they're not playing indoors. I don't think they're playing indoors.
But, you know, they were talking about that whole psych. What was it, bomb cyclone?
Oh, my goodness. When they start doing that?
I don't know, man. All right. As you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship for the great city of Detroit. My hometown, as I always like to say, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because this show does air nationally via radio.com. All right. Let's get right into it. We got a very special guest, and certainly they have been a dear friend of Small Talk with Mark Essley, our friends from Comcast, and specifically Comcast Business. I'd like to welcome Mr. Rob Ponce. He's a senior manager of public relations for Comcast Heartland Region, which includes Michigan, Indiana, and Kentucky. And he's been doing some great things. Rob, good morning. Thanks for calling in. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. Good Sunday morning to you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You having a nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say?
Oh, I need two.
I need three.
Need two.
Hey, as always, as I like to say, getting to reach our show with you, with about our interviews with you, we thank you very much for your continued support for Small Talk with Mark Essley. And before we jump right into it, give us your role briefly over at Comcast.
Well, I've been with Comcast for about 22 years in several positions, including marketing, community affairs, and public relations. So right now, I work with the public relations group in Michigan and just help to tell Comcast story.
Okay. And you're doing a great job of telling a Comcast story, and we appreciate them help using Small Talk to help to tell that story. But before we jump into another part of conversation, I want to jump into a major event that's upcoming that Comcast Business is a sponsor of, and that is the Small Business Workshop. It's the fifth annual Small Business Workshop that's being presented by Fifth Third Bank, and Rob, is being held on May the 7th at 440 Burrell Street in the Motor City down at Tech Town, Detroit. And Comcast Business has been a sponsor from day one. Why is this event, why is this workshop important to Comcast?
Well, you know, first of all, Mark, congratulations on 5 years holding this event. Thanks for putting it on. You know, we're thrilled to be a sponsor again and to work with you again on this. And, you know, I guess we share your passion for helping entrepreneurs and small businesses succeed. I don't know if you know this, but Comcast at one time was a small business way back in 1963. Our company was founded as American Cable Systems, and it was a very small microwave TV company in Tupelo, Mississippi. So, you know, through strategic investments, new technology, entertainment development, Comcast is now one of the largest video, internet, and phone providers in the nation. And, you know, being a small business coming from there, helping small businesses out right now with Comcast Business, it just seemed that we would be a strong fit to help you with this workshop.
Yeah, and you know, I've written about it in Cranes. Everybody knows that. I've talked about it on various media outlets. And by the way, I need to give a shout-out and a thank you to Fox 2 News for having me on this past Thursday. Thank you, Amy Andrews and Ryan Armani, my good friends over at Fox 2. And also, I think I went later today on Spotlight on the News, my good friend, Mr. Chuck Stokes. And I always tell this story, this. The city of Detroit has over 62,000 small businesses, according to the 2012 U.S. Census data. We are the fourth largest city in the country when it comes to entrepreneurship. And it's one thing to open a business. I mean, we're seeing businesses opening across Metro Detroit almost every single day. But according to the SBA, 50% of those businesses, Rob, will not make it beyond, you know, 12 months. And according to Bloomberg, 80% will not make it beyond 18 months. So we do this workshop with your support is to provide these businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, with the opportunity of accessing resources and talking to business owners and other, let me clarify, the other business owners and sponsors such as yourself so that they can learn and figure out what can they do to focus on business sustainability.
Yeah, well, you know, small businesses are the backbone of the economy and of the community, and they make vital contributions to local job markets and to the neighborhood. So your workshop really plays an important role in providing tools, solutions, and networking opportunities for small business owners. So thanks again for doing that.
Yeah, and one final comment before we unpack additional support from Comcast Business in terms of business as well is, again, according to data, 60 to 70% of the net new jobs in America are created by entrepreneurs, by small businesses. So they truly are the backbone of our economy. They certainly, when it comes to hiring people, a lot of times we think of our major corporations, no problem. Yes, they're providing jobs as well. But it's vitally important that we help entrepreneurs become successful long term. All right, so let's kind of jump into Comcast Business and what you've been doing to do to support entrepreneurs as well. So, Rob, from your standpoint, how does Comcast Business help entrepreneurs and small businesses be successful?
Well, Comcast Business really was built from small businesses needing our services, whether it be phone service, internet, or video. And as businesses and their needs have evolved, so has the sophistication of our products and the services we offer. And we've also transitioned from being order takers early on to now being more technology consultants. And that means we need to understand our customers and what their changing tech needs are. And again, that's why your event is such a strong fit for Comcast Business to support. So, you know, that's how we support it, and that's what we've been doing in the community. Small business community from day one.
Let's cut to the chase. And Comcast is no longer a cable company, just a cable company. It's one that has evolved. And you and I have talked about this over the years. It has evolved into a technology solutions provider, if you will.
Absolutely. It's no longer the cable company with the cable guy. It is helping businesses, helping families connect to whatever's important in their lives through via the internet, via voice service, or via video. So, you know, we evolved from TV all the way to helping our customers really be connected to the world around them.
And let's talk about some of the examples, the types of products and services that you have that, in fact, will make it easier for businesses to stay connected to their customers.
Yeah, so we like to package tech solutions that make a small business look like a big business. So we manage things so they don't have to. So a couple examples would be, one, our Comcast Business Voice Edge Select product, and this gives small businesses an all-in-one VoIP phone solution that helps them make the right impression. It's a cloud-based phone system that uses all different kinds of technology available for enterprise businesses and small businesses alike. Also, we have cloud solutions. We give simple entry to the cloud so businesses can manage all of its software subscription on one single login. So just things to simplify the tech process for small businesses, we're giving those businesses a chance to do that.
I got to tell you, man, those cloud services have saved me many a day. I mean, as everybody knows, I'm always on the road. I'm always someplace. And a lot of times, I'm always pulling documents and files from the cloud, and it's really saved me a lot of time and energy as opposed to having to run back to my office and do X, Y, and Z. So that's a wonderful tech-based solutions or tech-based solution for small businesses. And some people might be listening today, Rob, and saying, well, you know, I don't know anything about this cloud thing, and how can Comcast help me to navigate, if you will, that technology, which sounds so out there, so up in the sky, if you will?
Yeah, so if you're a business and you're looking for ways to make things simpler and easier, just give us a call. Everyone's different, so they'll have a different solution to the need that they have. So they're always welcome to go online and contact us at business.comcast.com or give us a call at 855-564-1056, and we'll be happy to consult and see what we can do to make things work for them.
And I know that you also at the event, you are one of the corporate sponsors, I should say. Let me clarify, the corporate sponsors. So you can come and hear Comcast talk to you directly at the event on May the 7th. They will also be having a display table, a vendor table, a table, if you will. They're going to be passing out information about their various technology solutions that, in fact, will help you continue to run your business in a cost-efficient manner, if you will. And go ahead, please, Rob.
Oh, yeah, we invite anyone who's at the event to come and visit our booth there. We'll have knowledgeable people there that can consult with you to see what we can do to help you along your journey and through the small business world. And also leave a business card at our table if you do visit, because we're giving away a new flat screen TV that I'm sure would look great in an office somewhere. So please come by and visit us and say hi.
Now, that's news to me. You just broke some news. So you come to the workshop, you got a chance of winning a flat screen TV.
That's correct.
Well, you know what? Can I have the TV? No. And we're going to have some other giveaways. You're going to have a chance to win Tiger tickets. You're going to have a chance to win a flat screen TV. I've had people come and they've won an opportunity to be a guest on my radio show and other things. So we are excited to have Comcast. Let me just kind of give you the particulars again one more time. It will be on Tuesday, May 7th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Tech Town in the Motor City in Midtown. That's located at 440 Burrow Street in Detroit. This year's theme is Navigating the Headwinds of Change. Yes, there's a lot of discussion about a potential changing economic landscape beginning in fourth quarter of later this year, going into 2020. We will see what happens. So the question is your business ready for that? And we're going to have participants, including speakers. We have speakers and workshop topics that will address those specific questions for you. And as we get further into the day, you got a chance to visit vendor tables and network with other business leaders. Now, yes, I'm talking about business leaders. I'm about presidents and CEOs of major organizations. And I'm so pleased to thank our sponsors again, the presenting sponsor, Fifth Third Bank. Corporate sponsors include the Detroit Development Fund, Comcast Business, Michigan Women Forward, National Entrepreneurs Association, America's SBDC Michigan, Cindy Fletcher Insurance Agency. Our media sponsors are WWJ, News Radio 950, and Detroit Public Television. All the people have helped me get this message out. Thank you to the Detroit Free Press, to Detroit News, and everybody, Chuck Stokes at Channel 7, Fox 2 News. We just appreciate everyone's support. We're going to drive you to the website, which is LeeGroupInnovation.com. That's LeeGroupInnovation.com, and click on the Small Business Workshop tab. So, Rob, anything that you want to say in closing one more time?
Website? Well, once again, Mark, congratulations on your fifth year with the workshop. I've been looking at the speaker list, and you have a strong lineup of speakers, so I'll be excited to hear them speak. And once again, congratulations, and we're looking forward to the workshop.
And thank you. And let me say very quickly, we do have Tommy Walker Jr., the founder of Detroit Versus Everybody, who's expanding their brand across the globe. We also have Tanya Allen, and she owns 10 restaurants at Metro Airport, and she also has another business that she runs. And we have a plethora of speakers, Ray Waters and other individuals. So I don't want to leave anybody out, so I apologize. So go to the website for all the information. Rob Ponto, thanks very much for calling in. We appreciate you, man.
Mark, thank you very much. Have a great Sunday.
You too. My pleasure. Thank you very much. That's Mr. Rob Ponto from Comcast. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Yesley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, we want to encourage you to check out the 5th Annual Small Business Workshop being held again in May. Go to the website, leadgroupinnovation.com. That's leadgroupinnovation.com, and click on Small Business Workshop. It will be worth your while. All right, this segment, in fact, is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, and they are the presenting sponsor for the workshop. And I am so pleased to welcome a very special guest, Mr. Brandon Pierce, and he is the president and CEO for Stratus Security Management, a locally based organization focused on highly trained and experienced staff providing comprehensive security guard services for all types of businesses, industries, and events across the Motor City, nationally as well as internationally. Brandon, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm so glad to have you. I heard a lot of great things about you, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank
good,
you.
Good. And, you know, you and I had a great conversation this past week as we were prepping for this discussion today. Let us kind of start off with the very basics. Let's tell me about yourself, Brandon, and then how did you decide to become an entrepreneur? What was your path to becoming a business owner?
Well, Mark, I was born and raised here in the city. I'm a product of the Detroit public school system.
Well, you West Side or East Side? You know the questions.
East Side.
All right. You know the next question. What high school?
Kettering and Murray Wright.
All right. So those of you from across the country, if you're from Detroit, those are the only two questions that we ask of each other when we find out you're from Detroit. What side of town are you from and what high school, right?
Exactly.
All right, go for it.
Like I said, I was born and raised here. Stratus Security was formed back in 2001, and I'm proud to say we're going into our 18th year.
Congratulations.
It hasn't been an easy road, but we've managed to survive. One of the challenges, the biggest challenges that we face over these 18 years is really having access to working capital.
And we'll come back to the working capital in a mm-hmm. second. I'm going to have to kind of hone in on the security business. Why did you decide to get into that particular piece of business?
Well, I used to be head of security for Bishop T.D. Jakes. I went back to school, got my degree, taught myself how to program, and I was a computer programmer. I decided I no longer wanted to work for anybody. Right after 9/11, I saw there was going to be an increased need for security. So I decided to step out and start my security company. And the rest is history. So we've been going at it, going strong for the last 18 years.
Yeah, and you've seen a lot of transitions and evolution when it comes to that security system.
Yes.
Talk about what security meant back in the day in 2001 when you first started and kind of where we're getting into. You talked about drones and everything else in 2019.
Back when we initially started, security guard service was just that. You just had a person there doing basic paperwork, giving people access. Technology has evolved in such a way where now, in order to remain competitive, you now have to bring technology into the fold. And what we're doing now, we're now moving towards starting a drone program, which can produce all types of analytics. We're doing procurement fraud. We're doing computer forensics. Mm-hmm. So we try to stay competitive and relevant by bringing technology into what we currently do.
You know, this drone technology thing is... Help me. This thing seems rather fast. It's that little thing that like flies above the ground and everything, and it's like looking down. That's a drone, right?
Right, that's the drone. But what's the key component to the drone is really the software that runs the drone. And we can program that software to provide you all types of analytics. Mm. We can put thermal imaging on that drone. So if you wanted to fly over oil pipes and detect leaks, we can do that. So it's the technology behind the drone that's really important. You can go to the Radio Shack and get a typical drone and fly it, but it's the software that really drives it.
Okay. And so from a security standpoint, so you're saying you're able to access data from this drone and that can basically help to identify what types of issues?
What happens is the client will tell us what they want, what type of analytics they want. We mm-hmm. can use drones to map out traffic patterns. We can use drones to access areas where people cannot go, let's say, hazardous chemical spills. We can send in a drone to give you an aerial view and tell you what's going on. You can use it for law enforcement for surveillance.
Oh, my goodness.
A drone will go up so high where you can't see it, can't hear it. We can do a head count of a crowd. So let's say at the fireworks, we can send up drones and they can give you a head count of what's going on and how many people are in that area.
So security, like we said earlier, it's just evolved over the years. There's no longer the guys in the dark jackets are walking around and just monitoring a certain
situation. Those days are long gone.
That's amazing. So yeah. Now, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, I know it's slightly different. What is the program the mayor implemented? The Project Greenlight, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. The Project Greenlight, where you go to certain gas stations in the city, for example, and the visualization is so clear, the image is so clear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see a green light, you go into a gas station, that means the gas station has that green light.
Correct.
And supposedly, I guess, it's helping to deter crime in certain parts of the city because people can now see your face. Remember the old days had the grainy images?
Right.
And
right.
Now your face is so clear that they're hoping that people identify that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going with that comment that technology has evolved and to see the impact of drones and how that continue to help from a security standpoint. Is that the next iteration, do you think, in terms of overall security?
Yes, I think a lot of companies and municipalities are going to move towards different technology, drones, facial recognition. That's the thing of the future.
That's amazing. So now I do want to segue into, you were pretty matter of fact over the phone about some of the challenges that you had. And we all know that access to capital for entrepreneurs is always a challenge. Right? Mm-hmm. Working
Correct.
Capital, getting access to capital. You have a very unique story. I'm going to let you talk for a couple minutes. I'm going to be quiet and let you share that story. It's a very powerful story.
Okay. As I indicated, we started back in 2001. And when I initially started my company, I had a relationship with one of the local banks. And I've been with that bank all the way up until recent months. I applied for lines of credit several times and was rejected several times. Even up to this last incident where something happened where there was two other folks that went in for it. Mine was rejected. And my financials were solid. And again, we had this 20-year relationship with them. What I decided to do was, I went through a program, Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business, and that's how we got introduced to Fifth Third Bank. I met a young lady there, Juliana Perry, who's a wonderful person.
She's terrific. She's outstanding.
I went to her with my story and explained to her what happened. Now, my initial bank would not even give me a conversation. They saw my initial credit report and said, we're done, you know, come back. You know, they just kind of just dismissed me. I explained to her what was going on. She said, Brandon, come back and see me in about a month or so. I came back. She looked at my financials. Everything was solid. She knew the background story of the situation. And they went to work for me. 30 days later, they gave me a line of credit.
Just like that.
Just like that. And I don't want to mislead people. They're not giving away money.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're not giving away money. When I went in there with I knew my financial health of my company. And I had solid financials that I could articulate to the bank what my needs were. And that's what they wanted to know. You know, you got to have a solid financial plan, you know, solid financials, and be able to articulate the direction in which you're going in. I had all that in place. Like I said, 30 days later, they gave me a line of credit.
But yet, years ago, we're not naming any institutions, the previous institutions for obvious reasons, you weren't getting the access to capital.
Not at all.
You weren't getting accepted. And I'm assuming you probably had a similar, you had your financials in order, you've got a track record of having a successful business, but you're being rejected.
Right. And what happened was they forced me to go to, I always say, predatory lending. I was using a factoring company, which the fees and the overhead was just astronomical. I was paying thousands upon thousands of dollars a year just to fund my invoices. And for a small business, a lot of businesses cannot sustain using those type of factoring companies.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you have these local banks who promote themselves saying they're for the small business in the city. And your question, is that really so? Because I've seen a lot of good businesses fail because they didn't have access to working capital. And Fifth Third said it, they stood by it, and they produce.
You know, you make my heart warm. As you all know, and I've repeated this 1,000 times, Brandon knows this as well. My dad was a legendary banker in this town. He was very well known, he tells a story, he probably financed half the city of Detroit, the West Side. He financed all these big, the house where Aretha was laid to rest, he financed that church over there. But I used to watch him. We talked about this over the phone. Mm-hmm. And how he was so involved and so engaged, and he talked about the financials. He would even come home talking about the financials. He wouldn't give us proprietary information. My point is the way he thought about businesses, and it was he had such a commitment to helping businesses such as yours to certainly become successful. And to hear that Giuliano Perry and the folks at Fifth Third Bank kind of had that similar philosophy, you know, that does me some good, because, you know, you've been in business for nearly 20 years.
Right.
For nearly 20 years. So you got a track record. And to hear that they stepped up for you, man, that's got to make you feel good.
It did. It really did. And, you know, I have nothing but great things to say about Fifth Third and Giuliano Perry over there. They were great.
You know, and talking about small, you're not really that small, because although you're headquartered in Detroit, how many employees do you have?
I have 162 employees. 162. We operate in 9 states. We do work for several government agencies, Department of Defense, Department of Navy, Homeland Security. So we've kind of evolved over the years, and we've grown, and we're still continuing to grow.
And now that you've got more access to capital, more working capital, where do you see yourself going in the future with the business?
Well, sky's the limit. I will say this. In talking to Fifth Third, we had a conversation, and I explained to them about my growth. And they said, just, you know, make sure we have all our ducks in a row, and they will grow with us. And that's what you're looking for, somebody that's going to grow with you. So in the next 5 years, hopefully I have 500 employees.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see yourself staying in Detroit as the home city?
Always.
Good.
Always. My headquarters has been in the same place since we started business.
Where are you located?
Over on Evergreen and 96, over on Fitzpatrick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I've spent many a time.
Okay.
Over in that part of the city. I grew up in Northwest, and way back in the day, near on the west side near Central High School. So,
okay.
But yeah, I used to take the bus over there, and I used to go to school in those days. But that's so cool to hear. What would you tell somebody listening this morning? And again, we're talking to Brandon Pierce, President and CEO of Stratus Security Management here in the Motor City. What do you tell someone who's thinking about starting a business, but they hear your story and they get concerned about access to capital? They might have taken a buyout, you know, the economy might be changed, they may have lost their position, or they just want to live the American dream as being an entrepreneur. What do you tell that person?
I tell them a couple of things. One, stay focused. Two, just because money is coming into your company doesn't mean that you're making money. So understand your company's financial health and understand your financials. Because without understanding your financials, that's a quick way for you to fail. Understand that. Be able to articulate your financials to any lending institution. And when it's ready, go to Fifth Third.
Well, I tell you, we got about a minute or so together. What else do you want to say in closing to those listening inspired by your story and about financing? Any other advice and counsel?
Well, it's doable. It's doable. Don't ever think that there's a lot of resources out here for you to succeed.
Okay.
You just have to seek them out.
Good.
But, you know, you can succeed.
Give us the location and the website in closing as well.
Stratus Security Management, 19804 Fitzpatrick, Detroit, Michigan. The website is www.stratussecuritymanagement.net.
This conversation, Brandon, was very important because we know that it's always a challenge. When it comes to surveys, it's always access to capital generally rises to the top. We wish you much continued success and congratulations.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
And you did fine. All right.
All right.
That's Mr. Brandon Pierce, President and CEO of Stratus Security Management. And there will be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. And this segment, in fact, was brought to you by Fifth Third Bank.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brought to you by Domino's. Yes, we're spending the first part of the show. We were discussing briefly about the small business workshop. We spent a lot of time going through that last week in detail. Great conversation about security and certainly getting access to capital. I hope you had a chance to tune in and check it out. If not, you can always listen to the podcast of this broadcast as well. And in fact, let me kind of give you my shout outs that I do each and every single week. You can listen to the podcast, by the way, at LeeGroupInnovation.com. We're also at WWJNewsRadio.com. But here we go. You may be sitting here in the Motor City. I'd like to thank AM 1270 for giving me this forum each and every single week to have a conversation with you. And you might be sitting back and reading your free press or your mobile technology. Or you might be listening across the country, across our many .coms, including the hubdetroit.com, wwjnewsradio.com, soundcloud.com, radio.com, and leadgroupinnovation.com. Just sit back and relax. Enjoy your hot cup of coffee, your local newspaper in your city, and with our very special next guest, Mr. Dr. Margo Rencher. And she's an entrepreneur, anthropologist, and educator with deep experience in startup and small business development. And she's currently Tech Town Detroit's diversity and inclusion entrepreneur in residence. Margo, thanks for joining me. Good to see you again.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
So you're here in a different capacity this time.
Absolutely.
All right. You are here as the now the entrepreneur in residence. How long have you been down there at Tech Town in that particular role?
In that particular role, I've been there since December. So it's been a little bit and really interesting, fun experience so far.
Yeah. You know, and we hear a lot about the lack of diversity in tech companies, right? And a lot of people think of Tech Town. Before I go there, give us a very brief overview of Tech Town. Then we'll kind of unpack it.
Sure. Tech Town is Detroit's entrepreneurial hub. If you are interested in starting a technology business, we have some experts there to help you. If you're interested in starting a retail business, if you want to start a restaurant, we help folks there as well. I think the really cool thing about Tech Town is that we help people not just in our headquarters at 440 Burroughs, but also within the neighborhoods and across the city.
Yeah. I've been going to Tech Town since 2008 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to lead a program down there on behalf of the SBA, one of my clients. And that was a phenomenal building back then. But to see the transformation over the last 10 years,
absolutely,
it's absolutely incredible. It's a hub of activity. And I'm fortunate enough to MC many programs down there, including Toast of the Town, where over 700-800 people attend. And now it's expanded to over 2 buildings in Midtown. Congratulations down there.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go back to my first question. We've heard a lot about the lack of diversity in the tech space. So in your role, how will Tech Town continue to address that particular challenge?
Yeah, so part of what my responsibility is to make sure that the tech clients that we serve reflect the community that we serve, and removing the barriers that we might have, making sure that we're as welcoming as possible for people with ideas that can be enabled by technology. And when I say that, I also mean to say that, you know, it's not just the typical thought around what a technology business should be. I really believe that every business is technology enabled. Every business has the capacity to be expanded. Every business has the capacity to be accelerated with the use of technology. And really, it's about implementing that not just at Tech Town, but within the neighborhoods and across the city.
So we heard in our previous interview with Brandon, it's a great example
exactly.
of enabling technology in the security space when it comes to drones. Now, when people go to Tech Town, for example, and they think of the tech space, are people intimidated by that concept, or, you know, how do you make them feel more comfortable?
Absolutely. part of, you know, I've done research around technology and inclusion, and I think that people have this Mark Zuckerberg image of what technology is. And if I'm really successful in my job, I'll have them understand that you're the dry cleaner on the corner, you're the security guard, you're the pizza guy. All these businesses can be enabled with technology. And it's not necessarily something that is inaccessible for anyone. It's something that has benefits for everyone. And really, that's my hope and my job is to make sure that everybody gets that message. So when they're coming in, we first of all make invitations, explicit invitations, try to get people in. And then when we're sitting down and talking with people, we really think creatively about their business and how the latest technology can help them do what it is they're trying to do.
So I do want to go just shift for 1 second, pull the lens back. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention any company names at all.
Sure.
There's been a lot of discussion with our friends on the West Coast about the lack of diversity, you know, in some of these technology-based organizations. A lot of you probably know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to go there. what is your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of it is because you don't see the representation. You don't see African Americans. You don't see Hispanics. You don't see women even in the roles where they're doing the creation of these technologies. And I think that that's part of what our role at TechTown and my role at TechTown specifically is there to do, is to not just help with making sure that people can see where there's an ability to add technology to their company, but for people who are already out there in the tech field, making sure that there's a light shine on there. There's a Detroit Black Tech community that's rising up on Slack and in meetings, making sure that they're highlighted, making sure that you know, as many people as possible who are already doing the work, making sure that they are, people know about them. And then on the other side, doing pipeline work, making sure that there are organizations out there like Sisters Code, like Journey, and other organizations where people are learning how to code, getting into technology, and making sure that they have a space and a place to not just learn, but then do what it is that they need to do within companies, and hopefully within companies in our community.
And I'm glad that you made a connection back to Detroit and TechTown. Mm-hmm. Now, I wrote a story to Detroit News about San Francisco. I went out to visit my son. And I was just so fascinated by the, it was like a college town, mm-hmm. in downtown San Francisco. And, but yet, you know, there's so much conversation about Detroit emerging as this tech hub. And mm-hmm. it's beginning to happen. Mm-hmm. But I wrote this story maybe 6 months ago. You can Google my name and Detroit News is all there. And what a point I was trying to make is that we can look to San Francisco kind of as a model of how they've done things. Now, obviously, the cost has skyrocketed. My son was giving me a tour. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you sure you want to stay here? But in terms of how they've embraced the technology. Mm-hmm. Now, to your point, though, is I would love to see that diversity. There was some lack of diversity out there, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of take that concept of what San Fran is doing and bring it back to Detroit and let the city of Detroit continue to benefit in that technology space as a whole.
Absolutely. We have all the pieces. Detroit is a college town, along with being a whole lot more. I think that we have, Michigan itself actually is a place where you have more people with engineering degrees and MBAs
on
than any other place.
On a per capita basis.
Exactly. So people know how to make. People already are dealing with one of the most technological products out there, the car. So really connecting those pieces all together already. And that's really what I'm excited about. Good. One of the things that we're introducing at TechTown is really helping people go through the ideation process. There are incubators out there, and we have some. There are accelerators out there, places where people with established businesses already are doing things. But what we're finding out is that at the ideation phase, right in the beginning, or if you're a company that's been around for a while, you know, kind of figuring out how technology can help them, really, how can we be creative about using technology and helping companies reach their next level?
We are talking to Dr. Margot Rencher, and she's the currently TechTown's Diversity and Inclusion Entrepreneur in Residence. So is this a new position for TechTown, and what has the organization done in the past?
Well, I'm the second Diversity and Inclusion Entrepreneur in Residence. The first was Marlon Williams. She is now our Chief Program Officer and is directing and leading our entrepreneurial programs inside TechTown. And one of the things I'm really excited about is, you know about Quicken Loans Detroit Demo Day. Well, last week and this week upcoming, we just all pitched in and decided to help everyone who's interested in applying for that demo day pitch. There's $1 million out there. So really everybody, not just on the tech side, but also the retail business boot camp, Goldman Sachs, all those folks really helped to get people on their way. And so one of the things that we got is there are a lot of businesses out there that can be benefited by technology who are at the early stages. And that was one really recent thing that we've done to help people and connect people to the opportunities of technology.
If you want to hear more about Detroit Demo Day, go back and pull up last week's podcast. We talked to James Chapman from Quicken Loans, and he's the entrepreneur in residence for Quicken Loans family of companies. It was brought here by Dan Gilbert from Tennessee, and he gives you a complete rundown of Detroit Demo Day, an opportunity of winning a chance of over total cash, I mean all cash, over $1 million, I think, right?
Right.
Big money.
Yes, yes.
Wow. So what do you say to the person, though, in our city? You know, our city is a very traditional city. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't like change.
Right.
Detroit is a very traditional town.
Right.
So what do you say to that person in a neighborhood who is anti-technology? Because a lot of times we think of technology, we think there's Big Brother spying on us, mm-hmm. right? We've all heard that story mm-hmm. here in the city of Detroit and the metropolitan area. What do you say to that person in a neighborhood who is, in fact, anti-technology?
You know, one of the things that I got out of talking to companies at Demo Day was recognizing there are some people out there who are afraid of technology. And the reality is, it's all about sustaining yourself. If you have a business that can help 5-10 people that you know directly using technology, you can scale. You can build and reach a much wider audience than you would otherwise. And so the person that I talked to was afraid that, you know, technology is having her move too fast. But at the end of the conversation, she realizes that, you know, what it can do is expand her reach. She can go at the level that she wants to go, but really it's about maintaining relevance and being sustainable as a business as things are changing. Unless she embraces it, she can get left behind.
You know, one of my favorite phrases, I don't know, maybe I coined it or somebody, maybe I got it from somebody, I can't remember. If you don't change, you die.
Absolutely.
Meaning from a business standpoint, if your business does not change, I use it in all my speeches actually, if you don't evolve your business, it will die.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, so think about the neighborhoods. You know, I grew up back in the day in the city, and there were so many neighborhood stores, right?
Yes.
But now let's fast forward to 2020. I know it's 2019. Not only are you competing for the people in your neighborhood, but people from across the globe can now access your business via the net.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, that can put you at risk if you just focus on that particular piece of property mm-hmm. that you may have, right?
Right.
So we have to figure out from a business standpoint, you have to pull the lens back and figure out how you can use technology to leverage mm-hmm. business growth and sustainability longer term.
Absolutely. We do great things, too. And so it's not just about Amazon coming towards us. It's about us going towards the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important for us to recognize that this is an opportunity for us to strive. And I grew up in Detroit as well, West Side, went to Renaissance High School.
West Side.
And so I understand, you know, what it was like to grow up with those businesses. And in order to compete, the reality is this is something that you must adopt and adapt with. The good news is you don't have to do it alone. That's why Tech Town is here.
One question, and I'll give you 30 seconds to answer before we close out. You know, do you see the next big thing coming out of our neighborhoods, like a Facebook or a Google? You mentioned Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think something might come out of our neighborhoods here?
Absolutely. I think, though, the next big thing is going to be a very little thing. It's going to be something very, very necessary to help the problems that we faced in our neighborhoods. There's going to be something that helps us with education because we have broken education systems. It's going to help us with health because a lot of us are facing health challenges. The good thing is that it's going to, though, lead the way for the rest of the world.
Okay.
And if we have small successes, if we have successes that really impact people, and it's going to create a lot of value for a lot more people than we even think.
And in closing, Tech Town's website is?
TechTownDetroit.org.
Dr. Margo Rencher, thank you very much for coming in. I love your enthusiasm, your passion.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. That's, again, Dr. Margo Rencher with Tech Town. She's the Diversity and Inclusion Entrepreneur in Residence. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. You know, each and every single week, I just like to give a thank you to all of our great guests. They provide you with outstanding information. And, you know, I learn. You know, yes, I do listen and I learn. And I've been doing this program for 5 years. And I've talked to over 1,000 businesses between this and everything else I do in town in terms of cranes and in this radio show. And yes, believe it or not, I continue to learn. So we're going to continue this conversation with a wonderful guest, Ms. Patricia Cassidy. And she's a licensed attorney here in the state of Michigan. We're going to take a slightly different twist in this conversation, though. We're going to talk about divorce. Well, don't get down here. No. We're going to talk about divorce, but also tie it into entrepreneurship as well. And she specifically practices in family law and has been doing so for the last 25 years or so. Patricia, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure to have you. And so you are with the law firm of Jackman and Cassidy, PLLC. Talk to us about your law firm.
So myself and my partner have been together since I started practicing law 25 years ago. We started at larger firms. We have been together since that time. We started our own firm in 2003, and we have been together since then. It's just the two of us, and we have a legal assistant, and we make things work that way.
Yeah, and when I was going through notes, you made an interesting comment about yourself. You said you're not only a just a divorce attorney that owns a small business, but you're also a divorced parent.
I am. I've been divorced since 2005. Our practice started when my daughter was first born, and curiously enough, my ex-husband and I are still friends. We get along well. We raise our daughter together, so it's works out great. And my business really didn't have a huge impact on in the divorce because it was just starting at that time. So it's a much different practice now.
And that's going to be my question. Was your business affected by the divorce? It was basically just starting at the time.
It was just starting at that time. We only had been out about a couple of years. So it really wasn't underway like it is now.
But a lot of people have been in business for several years, though. And all of a sudden, they've kind of grown together. They've grown a business together. Now, that certainly can be affected by a divorce.
Absolutely, it can. A lot of people don't have businesses together that are married. A lot of them, one of them will have a business that they've had throughout the marriage or started at some time during the marriage or sometime prior to the marriage. It is an asset of the divorce that does need to be divided in the divorce. You can make it really easy by agreeing on how it's going to be valued, or it can be very difficult if people are hiding assets or hiding accounts or hiding aspects of their business that need to be known in order to value it properly.
So a business is not necessarily immune from a divorce.
Never immune from the divorce.
So I think there's a misconception that some people, if they own the business and the spouse is not involved or does not own the business, that they can take the business with them. In other words, that it's kind of in this cocoon is protected.
Never. It's an asset just like your house, your car, or anything else, and it has to be valued in some manner. We value it in a divorce as a going concern, meaning we're assuming that the person that owns it is going to continue to maintain it.
Okay. And so there have been many laws, obviously, in Michigan pertaining to divorce. So what are some of the recent changes over the last several years when it comes to divorce?
So the biggest change is this year with spousal support. Spousal support is no longer deductible to the payor. It is treated more or less like child support at this point, so it comes out of net pay. So the people that are paying spousal support or ordered to pay spousal support beginning in 2019 can no longer deduct it. People that divorces that were finished prior to the end of last year, 2018, can still deduct it if that was the way their judgment was structured.
So maybe from 2008, Doug, I know you've been married for quite a while. So what you said, I'm not going to say how many years.
That's okay.
Okay, 45 years. But beginning.
I'm old.
No, you're not. You got married when you were 12, man. So think about it. So in 2019, you can no longer deduct child support?
Spousal support.
Right. So you might as well stay married.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
So you
the old song, Cheaper to Keep Her, or whatever. There was I don't know what it was.
So let me, and Patricia, back over to you, in all sincerity, with that recent change, I know it was still early in 2019, are you finding people like saying, well, maybe we ought to figure out how to make this work?
Actually, what we found was that at the end of 2000 or towards the end of 2018, there was a lot more divorces.
Really?
Because they were trying to get in under the wire.
Ah, interesting.
Now, to be fair, the guidelines for spousal support or what we use to try to lead us down the path of what the appropriate amount should be are less, and they do take into consideration that they're no longer deductible. But that was a nice piece to try and negotiate in divorces if it was a deductible item.
So people kind of got in under the wire. I never thought about that. Makes sense. What are the differences for a person that's seeking a divorce who chooses a small law firm versus a bigger one that focuses on different areas of the law?
So primarily, I think there's two things that are substantially different. One, in a larger law firm, generally you're going to be dealing with a lot of different people in that firm, staff people, other attorneys, paralegals, people that are working on your file. So when you call, you may not actually ever get to talk to your attorney. You're talking to other people and getting their input rather than getting your own attorney's input. Now, that's not necessarily true in all large law firms. However, in a smaller law firm like mine, we're handling the cases from beginning to end. So when the person comes in and they meet me and they hire me, I'm the person that's handling their case. I take all their phone calls. I appear in court with them. I think that that's somewhat of a comforting factor to a lot of clients to have the person that you meet and the person that you're talking to on the phone giving you the information and giving you the advice and answering your questions.
So you're having that more personal approach. You're not handing that person off to someone else.
Never. No. Correct.
So you're building that relationship, that trusted advisor, if you will.
Right. And to go along with the same concept is the fact that with all those people in a big firm that are handling your file, all those people are keeping track of their time. So all those people are billing. What I've noticed in cases where on the other side, it is a large firm, the litigants are paying a lot more for those services, probably double of what they're paying for a smaller law firm to handle their case.
We are talking to Patricia Cassidy. She's a licensed attorney here in the state of Michigan, and she's part of the Jackson and Cassidy
Jack Law Men.
Jack Men and Cassidy PLC with offices in Wayne County and Oakland County. Her partner is Wade Jackman, right?
Correct.
I want to make sure thank you for correcting me. And certainly, we're having a very important conversation here about divorce and the potential impact it can have if you're a business owner. And how do you begin to think about that process? You know, nothing's immune as you're going through divorce, even that the business that you might be starting or you might be working on. So what she's giving you some excellent advice in terms of that. I do want to ask you, earlier we had on Brandon Pierce, we were talking about technology. And I'm just curious, do you find a lot of people going through divorces hiring PIs?
So we're a no-fault state, which means that you don't have to claim fault in order to get a divorce. Fault can be taken into consideration by the court as it relates to the division of assets or if spousal support is an issue. The reality is that it's not taken into consideration as much as you would like, especially if you're the scorned spouse.
Mm.
So we try to explain to people that it's probably not best to spend a whole lot of money on surveillance or those type of things to be able to prove that your spouse was cheating on you or something like that. Now, if your spouse was stealing money or is hiding money, that probably is very important because that's part of the discovery process and we need to find where that money is. So perhaps if they own a business, they may be able to skim off of the top or put money away or put money into another avenue that we need to take into consideration when either dividing up the assets or determining what support might be appropriate.
So don't necessarily run out and get that PI or do the surveillance.
I don't think it's necessary right at the onset. I would say talk to the attorney that you're going to hire and find out what their belief is based on what the facts are of your case.
That's very good advice because, again, I think there's a perception that people want to go out and hire a PI and they want to start tracking people and finding out where they're going, what they're doing. And you're hearing from a licensed attorney here in the state of Michigan, you know, consult your attorney first, essentially, before you think about jumping into some of these things. You know, again, you're a busy attorney. You have a young daughter or you have a daughter that you're raising. You have a family that you're still raising. So are you able to get back to the community in your role as an attorney, a very stressful job that you do have here in the community that you live in?
I can and I do. There are a couple of places where I try to give back to the community. I do once a month. I am at Schoolcraft College and I provide free legal advice related to divorce on the second Tuesday of the month, which means I did it last week. So I would come between 4 and 6 on that Tuesday, and I provide legal information to people that may not be able to retain an attorney, may just need some help filling out forms, may have a question as far as perhaps a second opinion about what their attorney is doing as it relates to their case. So yes, I try to give back. There's other attorneys that come also during different days and different times that give different types of advice. I also am assigned pro bono work through the Family Assistance Program in Oakland County. So we do some work in that respect. And there is one other thing, and I need to take a peek.
It's okay.
The Wayne County Amnesty Program. Mm-hmm. That's in Detroit. We just did this last weekend. And it is a program that is designed in Wayne County to be able to allow persons that are behind in their child support to come into a friendly environment, even if they have a bench warrant out for their arrest, to be able to address the issues associated with their child support. So attorneys come in, such as myself and my partner, do this twice a year, and we give free legal advice, and we deal with the friend of the court who's also there to help these people try to sort through their payment issues.
We have about a minute and a half or so remaining. You know, we're seeing all these lawyers advertising on television. Can't turn the TV on without seeing ads for X, Y, and Z. And so you're a small business, a small practice, defined as in terms of a small business, if you will. How do you market your firm?
So our firm is primarily marketed by word of mouth. So we get most of our clients from happy former clients. Or in my best referral comes from the ex-spouse of a former client.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the best ones. The other side thinks you're doing a great job, so they refer somebody to you. So those are great avenues for us to get business. We also have lawyer-to-lawyer referrals. So somebody gives me a referral that they don't do a family law case because a lot of attorneys don't like to do them. So they send them over our way. We also advertise on the internet.
Okay.
So, because everybody walks around with their phone or with their tablets, and it's a great way for us to get business.
Well, I'm up against the clock, so the website is?
JackmanCassody.com, and that's JackmanCassody.com.
Patricia Cassody, thank you very much for coming in and giving some very important information. Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Doug?
Yes.
There's no college basketball on. What you going
to
do, man?
Well, watch the Tigers.
You're going to watch the Tigers,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Why not?
We want you all to sit back and relax, enjoy your Sunday, enjoy your week, and we will check you out next week on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. And always in closing, early in the year, go Tigers.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.